Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
All right, welcome back. Another episode of Compliance Pointers. I think we're in the high 30s at this point on the season. A lot of content, and so for those of you tuning in or watching, I'd encourage you to look at the full catalog, not only this season, but past seasons and all the topics we've been going over. And today we have not a new face, but not as a not a familiar, I would say, to the podcast, Sarah Reckling from our both our data privacy and our healthcare specific compliance team, and she's a consultant and kind of serving a dual role on those. In fact, we were talking, Sarah, about your title before we got on this podcast today, but I guess in short, you're a consultant like many consultants on our team, but you're helping in a wide variety of areas, not only with regulatory expertise around emerging U.S. state data privacy law, but also you're an attorney, you're trained in HIPAA privacy and I would say security and breach law as well, right?
Absolutely.
So you're going to bring some good perspective to this podcast today, where we are talking about none other than HIPAA and discussing HIPAA risk assessments in particular, not only a security risk assessment, but also a HIPAA privacy risk assessment. Most of the time when organizations, especially business associates, talk about HIPAA security risk assessments, or as they'll call them, SRAs, they're talking about the annual requirement of the HIPAA security rule, if applicable to you, to conduct a risk assessment. And we go over it a lot in the past in terms of, you know, it's one of the first things the OCR asks about if they're performing an audit. And hopefully I'm not stealing some of your thunder and what you're going to speak to today, Sarah. But it's going to be interesting to also hear from you on the privacy risk assessment, which to my understanding is not a requirement that you do, but still is a very meaningful and value add exercise for organizations. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me stop there and just dive straight into the questioning so the expert can speak. Let's start with just the purpose of a HIPAA security risk assessment. Talk more about that beyond just the obvious.
Sure. So I think one of the things that's important to note about a security risk assessment is that it's just not a compliance checkbox, right? It's a requirement of the law, like you had stated earlier. And it's a process really to understand how EPHI is at risk, right? And guiding organizations on how or what specific safeguards to put in place to like reduce those risks and at an appropriate level, right? And there's six essential focus areas in a security risk assessment that we primarily focus on. So the first is first, you know, looking at the risk and vulnerabilities, you know, seeing where there are weak points in the administrative and physical and technical safeguards, right? Seeing where they lie within the environment. And then from there, once we find them, you know, we're determining the likelihood and the impact of threats based on those risks that we're finding, right? So we're assessing them on the probability that like a threat could exploit, you know, your potential PHI that you guys have, that somebody has. So that's really the next second step. And the third one really is to measure the current security posture in the environment, right? So looking at your controls, where are they sufficient? Where are they falling short, right? Checking to see, you know, kind of how the environment really looks like, right? And then once you know what's in the environment, then you can really prioritize the risks and see like where they rank, you know, providing really a clear roadmap of, you know, what the organization wants to accept as a risk and what they need to implement to either reduce it or, you know, change it in some kind of way. Mm-hmm. So those are the four steps. And then from the fifth and sixth step, right, we're really looking at, you know, due diligence, creating a record of all the changes, right, of us finding the risks, how we're determining what they are, the likelihood, and just keeping track of everything in case there is an investigation or questions about any risks that are shown or that will, you know, likely pop up. And then that last step really is, you know, improving the overall security of the environment, right? So you found everything, you documented it, now it's the time to actually do it, right? Reduce the chances of having like any kind of breaches or incidents, you know, and making sure you're keeping that organizational reputation high. So those are the six main steps I would say, and how you kind of want to think and walk through them.
Okay. Good breakdown there, Sarah.
Yeah.
And why is it important that this be done annually?
So it is a requirement of the law to do this annually. So it's not a suggestion or a recommendation. Right. We have to do it annually. And folks can do it internally or hire an external firm to do that. But yes, it is a requirement per law.
Sure. But, you know, you and us, Compliance Point, being an organization that does these annually, I'm sure you've got some anecdotal stories and other, you know, call outs for the importance of doing it annually. So, you know, I'm just saying it from maybe a listener saying it's like every single year doing the same security risk assessment. But I mean, that's pretty common in a lot of frameworks. For our listeners or viewers, what would you peg as some value points for that?
Sure. I would say a value point, as well as where OCR seems to provide the most, I guess I could say fines, if you will, that they consistently find, is risk assessments really also look at whether there's policies and procedures in place and whether they're followed and implemented, as well as folks, you know, whether folks are trained on them and know them, right? That has been a really big pain point. And having those policies and procedures, you know, brings strong value to the overall security posture and environment. So it's super important. The other portion too, with just making sure, right, that that everything has encryption is another pain point. I feel like, you know, some devices might be missed, right? But just making sure all of those bases are covered too. That's a pretty big gap that seems to be found a lot by OCR. So really like assessing your entire security environment, right? And seeing where those gaps are. I mean, that's, you know, the whole premise of a risk assessment, but that's even just like another point within the risk assessment to do.
Yep. And so, and maybe too, people come and go at different organizations, but policies may be followed very religiously or consistently from 1 year could differ in the next. And just because it's one way today doesn't mean it's that way tomorrow. Events happen, incidents happen with clients in the marketplace. So I guess it's just staying readily on top of all of those different things that you just mentioned, but also not letting it get stale, not letting it get outdated, and keeping it top of mind in terms of really securing the data, the EPHI in particular. So let's move then to privacy risk assessments. And maybe you're going to correct me on this, or maybe them not being required, you know, maybe that's a false understanding I had, but who needs to do these, and how often and how do they differ from a security risk assessment?
Sure. I feel like this question gets a lot of confusion. I get a lot of questions.
Probably because of people like me.
Right. A lot of confusion, not just you, Jordan. So when you look at, you know, just kind of taking a step back, when you look at HIPAA, there's primarily three main rules, right? The security, the privacy, and breach rule. So we just discussed the HIPAA security risk assessment, which is under the security rule. And so now we're looking at a different piece of the HIPAA law, which is under the privacy rule, which is where privacy risk assessments come into play. So what happens, for example, when there is an incident, right? A compliance official, whether that being, you know, general counsel or somebody who's designated as a privacy officer, will complete a privacy risk assessment. Now, it's not situated the same as a security assessment where you're looking at your entire environment, right? You do one, right, to fill in the gaps, prevent different breaches and things like that and incidents, but a privacy risk assessment is done once there is a incident. So a little bit different there. So what a risk assessment does is we look at an incident and there will be a series of questions, and those questions are in the regulation of what needs to be asked. So the first kind of part of it is whether one of the three exceptions apply. If one of the three exceptions apply, then you can stop doing the assessment and close that out. If one of the exceptions does not apply, then you need to do what is famously called the four factors, right? And it's a series of four questions that need to be answered to see, you know, whether this needs to be reported or not to OCR. If there is an incident, right, a privacy risk assessment needs to be completed. It has to be completed under, you know, the HHS audit tool. You know, there are two sections that OCR looks at, you know, when if there is an incident, they come into your organization, and they ask, you know, do you perform risk assessments? Do you do the four factors? And do you have a template on how you're doing them? And there's a pretty, you know, there's a template that HHS gives you. You can pretty much copy and paste there. But, you know, if there is an incident in your organization and OCR comes in and asks for all of your, you know, documentation as well as your risk assessment that you completed for a particular incident and you don't have that, you know, that's going to be a, you know, probably a pretty big fine that you're not completing those. But so it is a requirement. It's a very different approach, right? So it's not like security. This one's like once an incident has happened. And I will say, you know, a lot of folks like to fill out the four factor assessment, you know, pretty generally and broadly. But the key really to doing a proper one is to get into the very specific details. And I'm talking about, you know, dates, timelines, name, when it was reported to you, when did you find out about it? When did you start investigating? So it needs to be as specific as possible. And the reason being there is not just, you know, just to make somebody do this assessment, but if there is an investigation, it'll be helpful to know the details. So that way, if there is another person, another compliance official that comes, you know, in 3 years, and this investigation doesn't happen until 3 years, that individual can look at this risk assessment and should be able to know exactly what happened, when it happened, and why. That's the premise. And once the assessment is completed, you really make a determination of, was there a low probability of PHI being seen and whether it needs to be reported or not. So that's the premise and the importance of doing one. And it's also important to whether there's like an incident or a breach where there's an involvement of 500 plus individuals, right, we need to be documenting all this information, because that's a pretty big breach, right? So we're going to have to really notate everything. And OCR, especially with 500 plus breaches, they really do like to take a closer eye on those organizations with those larger breaches. And so if you have one of those, you really just need to document everything, as long as it might take you to fill out the risk assessment. It's super important. And it just makes life a lot easier too if OCR comes in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess my understanding of a privacy risk assessment, and maybe it's two parts, but So it's a requirement in that if you have an incident that meets the volume amount, you have to conduct a privacy risk assessment. So you could be conducting several of these, hopefully not, but
sure.
Several of these inside a year. So this is not the same scale as a security risk assessment, right?
Right. You got it. So after every incident that you have, you should be completing a privacy risk assessment. And like you said, this isn't a huge organizational evaluation. This is an evaluation of the singular incident itself. Okay. Yeah.
What about a organizational privacy risk assessment, similar to a security risk assessment? Or is that a topic for another day?
That is a topic for another day, Jordan.
Okay, good. There's your invitation to come back, Sarah.
Right. There we go. But I really do wish that the privacy assessment was called something different, because I feel like people think that they're the same thing, but they're not, right? One is bigger picture, one is more on singular events.
I mean, I feel like I have egg on my face, but I have to admit, I've done the security risk assessment for a while. I always thought the privacy risk assessment was, you know, a sister to that, you know, in that it was really looking at an organization's risk as it pertains to the privacy rule, what they need to be doing around the privacy rule policies and procedures, similar to security.
Yeah, okay. Your misconception is like truly what everyone, a lot of folks, you know, especially I would say like smaller health IT organizations, you know, they didn't realize that it's a different thing and that it needs to be completed for each incident. So, but it's very important.
Yeah. Well, we'll do another one then. So thank you for clearing that up for us, Sarah Reckling, and giving us detailed breakdown and the steps involved in not only a HIPAA security risk assessment, but also privacy risk assessments that should be a result, or shouldn't be a result of a breach. No, I guess you could say that. Yeah. Should happen in response to an incident or a breach, especially with 500 plus records. So we appreciate your time. And for listeners and audience, if you like this sort of content, please remember to subscribe, leave us a note, leave us a review, especially if there are specific topics maybe that you're looking for us to cover. And as a reminder, Compliance Pointers covers a variety of different regulatory compliance topics, but also information security and information privacy frameworks. And I would just say kind of cutting edge best practices in this realm to help companies secure data and keep it private when it is required of them. So you can reach us at connect@compliancepoint.com and anywhere you can access compliancepoint.com. So till then, thanks everybody and be well.
Thanks, Jordan.